Salutations, and welcome to the Harlots of History podcast, where we scorch the history books and take back the word harlot one episode at a time.
This is a show for the curious listener, the raunchy feminist, the sex-positive comic, co-hosted by us, your resident amateur historians who love a side of sexy with their history.
Listen as we chat and lecture each other on infamous mistresses, lovers, sex workers, courtesans, madams, vamps, sirens, scam artists, and of course, harlots.
And we try not to get too sidetracked with rants about putrid patriarchy.
I'm Kara Mia, a mom of three.
And I'm Emily, a fur mom of three.
So go grab your pork rinds or your kale chips.
A glass of wine or a big old mug of tea. We're not judging.
We will keep you entertained while you wash your dishes, wash your feet, or wash that man right out of your hair.
This show also contains alcohol, some very colorful language, and eyebrow raise, sexual content, and is not appropriate for those under 18.
Sorry, not sorry to our children and pets.
Hello!
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to Harlots of History. I want to say the late night edition, but they're all late night editions.
It's pretty much when we can escape from our daily lives.
Yeah. Well, I don't have
when we sedate everyone in our daily lives.
I don't have a daily life.
I ply my kids with bottles and snuggles and teddy bears. And
that sounds fun.
No, night after night. No.
No, it sounds fun to be the person getting plied with like bottles and snuggles right. And teddy bears.
No wonder why they don't stop.
Yeah. I just want someone to like give me a bottle and a teddy bear and be like, go to bed.
Okay. But we just want to say, like, thank you. We've been having so many amazing interactions with listeners and our Instagram followers, which is the platform that we are by far the most prominent on. We are pretty avid
the
Instagram
only platform
users. We're trying to get to other platforms, but Instagram just agrees with us, everyone.
We're on Twitter, but like I forget we're on Twitter for a couple months, and then I go on Twitter. We have like one new follower, but like I've never used Twitter in my life before, so sorry. I don't know.
I've never been a Twitter user, so I'm like, I don't really think that people should have access to my thoughts, daily thoughts. Like, especially like in the early morning and late night, I was like, that could be dangerous.
I know your early morning and late night thoughts, and I don't think people should have access to that.
Right?
Also, we realized that you guys really do not care about anybody in the 2000s, which is fine.
Yeah, which is fine. So, you know, like, we were just like, we made a kind of a new rule for ourselves. Like, but see, Emily and I both led very sheltered childhoods. So, like, learning about some of these, like, 2000s, like, quote unquote divas, we were like learning about this stuff for the first time.
Yeah.
And everyone else has probably like been there, done that. I live that. And Emily and I were like, this is a whole new world.
Can I sing that?
I don't know.
Who knows? Anyway, yeah. So we decided to go back to roots. And we're doing medieval. So we decided to do, we kind of both went with like the end of medieval times.
AKA when books were starting to like be a thing.
And like anything that Philippa Gregory would have written about, we can include.
Because we all know that I got my hands on my mom's Philippa Gregory books when I was like 10, 11.
I was reading them about the same time, but they were my own. My mom didn't read that.
Yeah. No, my mom like borrowed them from the library or someone gifted them to her. I say library wrong all the time.
Library.
I was raised with a Finnish grandmother who said
library's cute.
She said library and she always said chickmunk.
Chickmunk.
And so I still say those things. Like I have to correct myself all the time.
Library and chickmunk. That's really cute.
Right. Oh. But I remember stealing them from my mom's bedroom because they just looked amazing.
They were really good.
And I remember my mom being mad. And I was like, why can't you read them? She's like, they're about some violent past. And I was like, but mom, I read 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea when I was like 6 years old. And Man in the Iron Mask when I was 7. I think those are pretty violent.
Ooh, those sound boring.
They're so good.
Oh, I did not have the attention. Oh, wait, I do have some business. Okay, so follow up. If you listened to our last episode, hold on. How do you say her name? Agnes?
Agnes Sorrell.
Okay, Sorrell.
Say it. No. Okay, so it's like in gross American English, Agnes Sorrell. But
Agnes Sorrell.
Agnes Sorrell.
Okay, so Agnes Sorrell. We talked about her, and Karamia told me, if you listened to the last episode, that, spoiler alert, she was actually discovered years later to have been poisoned by mercury, and we wondered about the science, and you said science made you go blah. So I looked up the science.
Ooh, thank you. I was wondering if you're going to do this. Cool.
I did, and I didn't really actually find that much information because, like, this really scientific article was, like, in French. And I was trying to read it, even though I don't speak French.
Did you see how he was doing forensic testing on Joan of Arc stuff?
So I read the thing. So he's this guy named Philippe Charlier. I don't know. I'm so sorry. I took Spanish. They call him the Indiana Jones of the graveyards.
Can I be Indiana Jones of the bedroom?
I don't know. He's real cute. He's
He is. Oh, I know. He's like this. He's really cute. He's got like curly hair, like kind of curly short hair, and
yeah. Basically, he uses microscopes and diagnostics. Like he's been able to solve. You probably read this. Napoleon, Diane de Poitiers, Richard the Lionhearted, Joan of Arc. He's like dug up all their remains, and he uses 3D imaging to like recreate their skulls. And then for Agnes, is that right?
Mm-hmm. That sounds better than I said it.
I tried to look up the science behind this, but my brain got mushed. So this is what I got. He used a particle accelerator to find out like that it was mercury. And then I was like, how do
accelerators were fake?
Oh, I did too. I thought that they were just like what was invented in what made the Flash and invented metahumans. And then I looked him up in particle. If you ever watch the Flash, or if you're like not a CW nerd like me, the particle accelerators actually look exactly like they do in that show.
Oh, cool.
I know. That's pretty cool. So anyway, particle accelerator, mercury, Indiana Jones.
Solving a like 600-700 year old murder.
It's crazy that he does that. Like his job sounds so cool. And he calls the subject his patients, which I think is really cute.
Oh, if only we could have such cool jobs.
Our job is cool.
Oh, it's true.
I mean, we're not making any money from it yet, but it's still cool.
We're having so much fun while doing it.
We are. Okay. Hi, and welcome to Medieval Mistresses.
Okay, I have qualms about Medieval Mistresses.
Okay, well, hi, and welcome to Medieval.
No, because I was just like, that keeps us in a box. Because I'm having a real hard time looking up more Medieval
Mistresses. Okay, Medieval Harlots.
Oh, I love Medieval Harlots. Let's do it.
Okay, is there like a Harlots of History? History Harlots? I don't know. We just really like alliteration. Okay, I don't know. Medieval Harlots.
No, well, we're working history. On it.
Welcome to history. Okay, so we talked about the Middle Ages last week, and to be honest with you, I literally had no idea. My phone is going off. Okay, I had no idea when the Medieval Ages were. Like, I pictured the Black Plague and those plague doctor masks, like, and a lot of velvet. And just everything being dark all the time. I don't know. I think that's the Dark Ages.
Yeah, but you know that that was actually like because that term Dark Ages was like used even when we were young, and now it's like not used nearly as much.
It's the same as like the medieval.
Kind of, yeah. I like referred to like a time in the medieval, yeah, and even like medieval times. I like the word medieval, but people more like say the Middle Ages.
I like medieval too.
I don't know. I just like medieval.
No, it's really fun. And I also just imagine those like plague doctors. So as I stumbled upon this episode, or as Karamia forced this episode upon me, I had to learn how the Middle Ages ended. You'd think we would do medieval ages at the end of the month, but hey, we make the rules, so we're doing them at the beginning. So deal with it.
We may never do the early middle ages. You just have no idea.
So the medieval started in the 5th century or 400s.
Because I need that help. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. With the fall of the Western Roman Empire and ended in the 15th century or the 1400s with the last battle of the War of the Roses. So today we are going to be talking about a very special harlot, Jane Shore, who was actually officially punished for harlotry. She was like, that was her crime, was harlotry.
Are you serious?
Yes, I got so excited.
I'm doing a dance right now. Sorry. This is a very exciting moment in our podcast life.
I know. So,
like, Emily, how are you feeling today? Like, I should be punished for harlotry. That's what. That's how I'm feeling.
Oh, yes. If you watch Game of Thrones, you may recognize Jane's story. Actually, if you watch Game of Thrones, you may recognize this entire story because it turns out
George R. R. Martin just like ripped his entire storyline off of real life like history.
I actually had no idea, but it turns out that the books were actually based pretty almost entirely on the War of the Roses. Just he threw in some dragons and ice monsters in there for some good measure.
And a whole lot of sex.
There was a lot of sex probably going on.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about Jane a little bit, but I didn't find that much information about her. There's like, you know, it's like a lot of articles, but they all say the same thing, you know, so there's not a ton of detail, but I wanted to talk about the War of the Roses because her story starts and it's like smack dab in the middle. And I was like, what was the War of the Roses? So I started like trying to read it, watch YouTube videos. And I was like, I felt my brain melting. Mm-hmm. And if you looked on our Instagram and saw my notes of trying to figure this out, you'll see why. So I actually found this video. It was a TED Ed video that was really good on YouTube. It's like 6 minutes long. And it's it shows Game of Thrones and War of the Roses. And I'll quote it at the end. But it helped me a lot. Like, I watched it like 6 times. But so I'm gonna talk about... I'm going to give you a brief, super brief synopsis of the War of the Roses. It's like really
kind of like how I said, like the Hundred Years' War was just like a really weird civil war fight succession between cousins.
Kind of, except this is like 2 pages long.
That's not brief. Okay,
well, that's it. Brief compared to like the like 100 years that this was going on, and there's
true.
Like
and also all the
7,000 names and there. Yeah, I was like, well, George R. R. Martin's books are what, like 6,000 pages. So I really like, you know, if you take out the ice monsters and dragons, it's still like 5,000 pages. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So brief synopsis. There's a lot of names, a lot of people. So feel free to ask questions. I'm also, because this helped me learn it, I'm gonna just mention some of the names that the people in Game of Thrones, the characters are based on. So if you have watched Game of Thrones, it'll make more sense. If you haven't, first of all, how dare you? And second of all, it's not really going to spoil anything for you because you probably won't remember the names anyway. And also, if it does, what are you doing? It's 2021. Go watch Game of Thrones. I'm not really giving the plot lines of it. I'm just briefly mentioning the character names. So, yeah.
Okay. I mean, and the final episode happened a while ago. They've had ample time. They made an active choice to not watch it.
And honestly, it's like they're modeled after him, but it's not the exact things that happen. Some of them are like, whoa, but yeah. So, all right, go pause the episode, grab a drink, make a bowl of popcorn, grab your wimples, and then come back. Okay. So last week, Caramia talked a little bit about the Hundred Years' War, which is from 1337 to 1453, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Two or three, yep.
Yeah. So, and if there's anything that I'm saying that you know more about, feel free to jump in. So the War of the Roses occurred, like, officially between 1455 and 1485, but that was, like, the actual battle. The tensions really have been building since 1377. So I kind of see these as happening around the same time. And the Hundred Years' War is the war between England and France. And the War of the Roses was a civil war in England that basically was a bunch of cousins fighting. But basically, they were kind of the same thing, right? Everyone was just fighting for the throne.
I actually really don't know that much about War of the Roses, except like, you know, like, oh yeah, War of the Roses. Like, you know, I actually really don't, I know a lot of the stories within it, but I don't actually understand the timeline of it at all.
I didn't understand either. It was so confusing. This video, I tried to watch so many videos. I tried to listen to things. I was literally, my brain was melting. They were like, but yeah, this, the video I watched really cleared it up. So that if me talking about this doesn't explain it, like, I'm a visual learner. So when I listen to things, I zone out. So that's why this helped me. Oh, my jaw is cracking. Okay. All right. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it begins with King Edward III.
Okay.
Edward had four sons, the Black Prince, the Duke of Lancaster, the Duke of York, and a random son named Lionel, who really isn't important, but his, like, his grandchildren are important because they end up marrying one of the Yorks and producing Edward IV, who's lover of Jane Shore, who's our harlot. So Lionel himself, I don't think he's a milk toast, basically. So you have to remember are the two main players are the Lancasters or the Lannisters, okay, and the Yorks or the Starks. The house symbol for the Lancasters is the white rose, and the house symbols for the Yorks is the red rose. So there you go, War of the Roses.
It's like it was bound to happen.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's like such a good name too.
Right?
Oh, they're like, five roses is better. So Edward III dies in 1377.
Okay.
His first in line son, Edward, or the Black Prince, has died the year earlier. So he has three other sons. So you would think that it would pass to one of them. But Edward, the Black Prince, had a son who was alive. So the crown skips all the brothers and passes to the grandson.
And how old was the son?
He was like, I think, I don't know. I think like 10 or he wasn't like a baby. I don't know how.
But he was still too young to run a country.
He could run the country.
Okay.
So he was, so King Richard II. So Richard is king for about 20 years. And then when I first made it sound like it was like king, and then the cousins were like, fuck you. But I think it was about 20 years. And then his cousin, Henry IV, who is a Lancaster, is like, fuck that, takes the throne. Henry IV is king for about 15 years. Then his son, Henry V, becomes king.
Which we learned about with me.
Yes, yes. Henry V or Henry VI?
We learned about Henry V.
Okay.
With me.
Okay. So he's king for like 7 years. And then in 1422, Henry V dies and his son, Henry VI, who's a baby, becomes the king.
Yep. Remember that he was also crowned as the king of France at the same time. And he was the baby. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And we said that it would be funny if like you were the queen and Edie was the queen. Okay. So he's a baby and he's king and he's an advisor, Richard, Duke of York. So Richard is the son of Anne, who is Lionel's great-granddaughter, and...
Okay, hold on. He's the son of Anne, which is Lionel, great-granddaughter.
Yeah, yep, like...
He's great-granddaughter. So Lionel, the fourth son of Edward III.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He's the last...
I just told him last. He was the second. Yeah, okay, the so third second, and fourth
so, ones. So the ones one of the sons... Oh, wait, like, so he's the second son of... Richard III, or sorry, Edward III. And this, so that's his great, great,
yeah,
great?
So I think it's great granddaughter. I don't know. He's a descendant of him. And then his father is a descendant of one of the Yorks. So basically,
he's got, like, a double claim.
Yeah. But okay. So he's like, I don't know, is that like first cousins thrice removed or like eighth cousins? I don't know how cousins work. But they're somehow cousins, like, mm-hmm, like three or four generations back, they were like brothers. And then now they're mother, father, Mary. Okay. So Richard of York. So he is Ned Stark in Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, this is like three or four generations after Edward III dies. Mm-hmm. So Richard, Duke of York, aka Ned Stark, is the advisor to Henry VI, the baby king.
Okay.
Henry gets a little older and he is married off to Margaret Anjou of France, who I really want to do an episode on her. And she's Cersei in the book. She kind of goes down in history as this evil bitch queen, but like we also know how history goes. So I really want to do more.
Do you know who her parents were?
No.
Because remember, Marie d'Anjou was married to King Charles the VII, who we were talking to.
Do you remember
that? I kind of want to, because it's just like, I want to see if like those were her parents, you know?
Yeah, look it up real quick. I get so confused.
Yeah, let me look it up really quick. Margaret of, she was the queen. Hold on. She was of Rene, King of Naples, and Isabella, Duchess of Lorraine, who Agnès was the maid of honor in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they all connect. Yeah. Yeah, this is like right after Agnès. Okay. So Margaret of Anjou gets married to Henry VI. She's 15. He's 23.
Okay.
Yeah. Really want to do an episode on her at some point. So I'm not really going to get too much into her life story because this episode will be like 20 hours long. Okay. So Margaret marries Henry, but she clashes with Richard of York, who's like
okay.
Henry's like, he's his BFF. He's like his most loyal advisor. He's also his like, was the Lord Protector. And England already really doesn't trust France. And
why?
You know, 100 years wars and all. And they just like hate each other. So Henry at some point has a diva moment of exhaustion. And the Duke of York is appointed Lord Protector. And he and Margaret don't really get along because she's like appointing her own advisors and trying to protect the throne for her young son, Joffrey. That's not his actual name, but he's like an asshole. I think it's Edward. But he's like a dick.
I just got that. It's like, okay, so they're going to even be named like Richard, Henry, or Edward. Like, that's all you can choose.
That's pretty much it. So she doesn't like the Duke of York because she thinks he's coming for the throne. So Margaret basically, like, somehow is like, Richard sends him to Ireland. Is like, go to Ireland. I don't know. Like, kicks him out.
Wait. She sends Richard of York to Ireland?
Yes. She's okay. Like, go to Ireland. And like kicks him out. He goes to Ireland. He comes back with an army, but he doesn't want to oust Henry. So he makes a deal that his kids will be the kings and like in the future, which is like what happened. Like his kids will be crowned kings instead of Henry's.
What is up with freaking men and their legacies?
I don't know.
I freaking care less about my legacy. Right?
I think our legacy is Salem.
I care about like what happens to my kids, but like it's not going to happen in my lifetime. But I want my kids will be king or queen, and it will be my like. I just could care freaking less about legacies. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Well, that's because we're like women with brains. Okay, so he makes a deal that his kids are going to be king. So Margaret and her mean son go into exile. But then Richard of York, her allies, cut his head off and stick it on a pike. As one does, yes. So then his son, Edward IV, becomes king, a.k.a. Robb Stark.
Okay.
Are you with me?
Yeah, no, I actually am.
Okay. So again, really oversimplified version. A lot of other shit happened, but this is like, they're so complicated. This is just what happened in the simplest forms. Okay. So the year is 1461. Edward IV becomes king, and he is supposed to marry someone from France, either the daughter or sister-in-law of the king. But plot twist. Edward has fallen in love with Elizabeth Woodville, who was like kind of random. Her family weren't nobles. They were gentry, which are basically like well-born people that are just under nobles. But they were also Lancaster supporters, and Edward was the York prince. So if you remember Game of Thrones, Rob was supposed to marry someone else, and he married the random girl for love, and then everyone was pissed, and then the Red Wedding happened.
Yeah.
I won't spoil it for you, but if you haven't been spoiled for the Red Wedding yet, like, how have you gone this long? Without spoilers, you're doing amazing.
Oh, also, don't feel bad. I just started watching Game of Thrones the last year.
I'm not shaming you. I haven't even watched.
No, I was letting like listeners.
No, I'm not shaming them. I shamed you for not watching it, but
yeah, but you're allowed to. You're my friend.
Yeah, we're not shaming you. Okay, so Elizabeth Woodville. Well, I also want to do an episode on her. She was also a widow with two sons, and her husband. Her husband was killed in a 1461 battle fighting for the throne for the Lancasters, which is ironic because she ended up marrying the York king. Yeah. Ironic. Yeah. So Edward IV and Elizabeth Woodville married in secret in 1464. It's like they don't really know the actual date, but it's like generally assumed it's like 1464. It was at her parents' house, like just her mom was there. They eloped, basically.
And let me just guess, because it's a secret wedding back in the day, it did not go well.
Well, it wasn't the red wedding.
As I've learned from like a lot of studying and also from one of my new favorite podcasts, Vulgar History, secret weddings always seem to end in misery.
Yeah. Well, they didn't end happy in Missouri. They ended
misery.
In Missouri.
Misery.
They went to the Ozarks, got married.
At least intentionally misunderstanding me.
They became drug lords for a bit. They came back to England. Okay. Just kidding. That didn't happen. Okay. So he married her in secret, which like pissed everyone off because he was supposed to be promised to someone else. So Edward's cousins, the Earl of Warwick, was super influential and known as the Kingmaker. So like not really a guy you want to piss off. Gets really pissed off. And he's like, fuck you, Edward. So he switches to the Lancaster side, sides with Edward's younger brother, George, briefly restores Henry VI as king, and then sends Edward into exile in Flanders. Meanwhile, Flanders is like Belgium-ish. Yeah. Meanwhile, I had to look it up. Elizabeth Woodville, who is very pregnant, seeks sanctuary in Westminster Abbey and gives birth to Edward V, the son of Edward IV. Okay, so Edward IV is over in Belgium being in exile, and he's over there like gathering supporters. So in 1471, which is the next year, I think it was just like a couple months after this all happened, he invades England and he takes back the throne. And his brother George dies in battle. Henry VI dies in the Tower of London. And Edward reigns pretty peacefully until 1483. So for like the next 12 years.
Okay.
During that time, he and Elizabeth have 10 children. And he was not faithful to her. And that's where we get to Jane. Okay. So we're not done with the War of the Roses. We're just in the mid, kind of, we're like, they happened. We're in like the peaceful spot right now.
The eye of the storm.
We're in the eye of the storm. Okay. So I'm going to stop talking about the War of the Roses, and it doesn't really pick up until Edward dies. So we're going to talk about Jane. Okay. Jane is born in London in 1445, and her name – oh, I didn't put this together. Her name is Elizabeth Lambert. So he's the same name as his wife. Well, not Lambert, but
– he didn't have to, like, worry about yelling out the wrong name in, like, the middle of his passions. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like all of his mistresses were Elizabeth. Elizabeth,
bring me every hot Elizabeth in the kingdom.
Send the messenger fox. Okay. Her name, so yeah, her name is actually, or like most likely Elizabeth, but she's called Jane. And I've read that it's like several reasons. Some people are like, yeah, no one really knew her name, or they forgot what her name was, but she kind of went out of history for a while. I'm gonna blame it on the patriarchy. That's always the patriarchy's fault.
Oh, so isn't it kind of like where she disappeared and she was kind of like her? She was known but like unnamed,
kind of.
And then they kind of like created a name for her.
They were like, her name's, well, this one dude wrote about her. Like at the end, he's like, was so fascinated, and there was like plays written about her, but she was always called Jane.
Yeah.
In the plays. So I don't know, Jane Elizabeth.
We'll call her Jane for easy, but you know,
easy, yeah, because it's going to get confusing if everyone's name's the same. So. They weren't naming their children like Fern or Moonshine.
Nobody's naming their kid Moonshine. I assure you.
I will be naming my firstborn child Moonshine.
Okay.
I won't be. Okay. So not really much is known about Jane's early life until the king shines his radiant sunshine on her, as we're aware.
Is that what we're going to say now? I love it. Yeah.
TM Caramia. But her
a golden shower. I'm so sorry. Like whenever I said that, I was like dying because it just made me think of a golden shower. I mean, I'm sure that happened too.
Maybe. I don't know. We don't know what they're into. We're not
that's called the king's blessing.
God. The king's not sing. Okay. 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 So, I lost my spot. Okay. We don't know anything about Jane's early life, but her parents were merchants, and it's believed that she got really smart from like the knowledge about the royalty nobility from the noble ladies who came to her father's store.
Oh, I'm sure. It's probably a great way to gather like information and to like really like know everybody, because like she would know what they bought.
I just imagine it being like a really small like metropolitan market, you know, just like.
Right. Oh, she's buying mercury. It must be because she has heartworms or something. You know, I don't think it's heartworms.
Buttworms.
It's like gutworms. There was like, that's why they suggested that Agnes took mercury, is because it like some intestinal worms.
Oh, and they found out that, I think it was Diane de Poitier, that same guy, found out that she drank gold for like a beauty. And he was like, what the fuck? Don't do that.
I could see the logic. I want my skin to shine. And what is like one of the shiniest, most expensive substances? Gold. Like, I could see her logic.
Yeah, I guess if you didn't know that, that would kill you.
I mean, people drink Goldschlager.
I mean, that's not like straight gold.
I know. Okay, it's still something with gold flecks in it, and I think it's gross.
It's not like hot molten gold.
No, it's not. But I doubt she drank hot molten gold.
She didn't. Yes, that's what happened. Okay, so Jane, she's really smart. A lot of people said like her beauty. I think she was pretty like beautiful, but that her beauty came from her intelligence and her kind heart and her personality. Which, cute. Yeah, so it's like a nicer way of, instead of being like she was so plain.
Right,
she was a beautiful sparkling peach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she was married off to William Shore, who was like 14 or 15 years older than her. In 1476, she was 31. But she petitioned for annulment on the grounds that her husband was impotent. And three bishops... Are you laughing? Three bishops had to preside over the hearing. And they were like, yeah, that's cool. Sounds legit. I just can't imagine. Like,
just like love... ancient stories of divorce when the woman just kill it. Yeah. Like ancient story. Sorry, there wasn't divorces. There was annulments.
Well, she was.
But it's like, that's like one of the very few things a woman could like claim. And it's just like when you think about it today, like a woman going to divorce court and being like, "My husband is impotent."
And I'm sorry. Yeah. No, I know. But I just say, imagine the bishops. Like over there, like, oh, you're right. That is a good. I don't know what that was. They're like, oh yeah, that's cool. All right, my British accent's obviously terrible. I'm really sorry.
We'll work on it. I'm so sorry. This time next year, we will be able to like just speak fluently in all different dialects.
We'll go to England. So if you live in England, invite us to your house once COVID's over. Okay,
please.
So the same year. Jane met Edward the same year she had the like annulment divorce, and they fell madly in love, and she became his mistress.
How did they meet? Do you know?
I don't. There's like no information. I don't know.
It's just like that to me is like, how does a king meet someone who's not a noble or not royalty? You know what I mean? It's just like, I want to know.
Maybe he like went to her father's store to buy some fancy cheese.
He saw her apple dumpling shop.
Yeah. He's like, oh.
He saw her apple dumpling shop in the apple dumpling shop.
Okay. Her dad's store was actually a front for like a stripper place. It was called Apple Dumpling Shop. And there was
the old.
There was like a back door.
If you don't know, last week we found out that apple dumpling shop was like antiquated slang for like breasts.
My apple dumpling shop brings all the boys to the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, It's better than ours.
I don't even know. Okay, let's keep going.
Okay. All right. So that is ours. All right. The same year, Jane met Edward and they fell madly in love and she became his mistress. Well, he did have a ton of other mistresses. He was pretty much completely devoted to Jane. And she became, I mean, I don't know, completely.
because he was having other mistresses.
She was the only one that could make him laugh.
Yeah. Well, no, she's like, I really like her.
It just sounds like it. Yeah, right?
Yeah. No, just like, it's like one of those like partnerships. She, like, she became a big part of his life. She was like his main, like, his main mistress.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if she was like officially the royal mistress, but I think she was, but I didn't really see much. But
that wasn't like a really big English thing until later. It was mostly still like a French thing to have like an official title. Yeah.
I was like, never saw she was like official. So, she, unlike many other people at court at the time, and I say people because we know that it wasn't just women grabbing for power, she wasn't using her status for personal gain. Instead, she used it for good. She would bring people to the king to be pardoned, who were, like, out of his favor. And she was, like, he didn't give her, like, a lot of gifts. She was, like, really, like, making sure that other people were getting the benefits of her, like, not power.
But her closeness to the king, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I know. And so, you know, a lot of people, again, said that, like, her beauty was really, like, inner beauty. And she was just, I think, really admired for being, like, a good soul.
Mm-hmm.
I like most people. And, yeah, she didn't get a lot of gifts of his other mistresses. And it kind of sounds like they had a pretty solid partnership.
That's awesome. And
I think that she was, like, his, like, right-hand man.
Pardon me.
She remained his mistress until his death in 1483. Which was most likely because of pneumonia.
So how many years were they together?
1476 to 83, so 9.
Okay.
Yeah, she was like 40 when he died. And he was some age.
Do you ever kind of get like a little bit surprised at, like, I'm sorry, like, this is just probably incredibly naive of me, and also, like, I'm kind of going through my own thing, like, because I'm turning 30 this year. Do you ever get surprised about how the kings that we've been studying and stuff, they were taking mistresses that were in, like, their late 30s?
Are you turning 30 this year? You haven't talked about it on this podcast yet.
Not once. But, like, haven't you, like, heard that, and weren't you surprised? Because I, like, literally thought that, like, women were considered undesirable by like a later ages. But like when I find like these women have like these lasting relationships as mistresses with their kings, princes, dauphins, whatever. And they lasted for years, and it's until they were like, you know, older. And it's just like really cool to hear about.
No, it is really cool. And like, especially because like the marrying age was like 12. So
it wasn't actually, they like, so I've actually like done a lot of like research into like typical marrying ages. It was pretty unusual to get married before the ages of 18, unless you were royalty.
Oh, really? I heard on like
a 18 to 21.
So like 12 was like the minimum age
for probably like, but when you get into like the late middle ages, going into what is it like Renaissance? And then, it definitely changes. So it wasn't like people were getting married off super young, because I thought that too. I was like, dude, you're 12, you die by 30. Kind of how I went into this thinking,
I'm always surprised because my jaw's like cracking. I'm always surprised when I see people living to like 80. It's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Edward dies of pneumococcal pneumonia. It's not. I think pneumococcal is a cool word. Okay. Just dies of some sort of pneumonia. It could have been pneumococcal. Who knows? So Edward's out. And this is where we get back into the War of the Roses. So Edward IV's 12-year-old son, Edward V, is set to take the throne. After Edward IV's son, his younger brother, Richard III, a.k.a. Stannis, is declared Lord Protector. I know. Stannis is a dick. And decides that, no, I don't want to be Lord Protector. I want to be king, y'all. So he decrees that Edward V and his brother, Edward's brother, Richard, Duke of York, and is this not confusing? Everyone has the same fucking name.
Yep.
Are illegitimate because their father's marriage happened in secret. So yes, you were right about the secret marriage being bad. So and because he was supposed to be married to like these other people. Yeah. So, which is obviously stupid. They were legally married, but whatever. Stannis is a dick. Oh, and so I was like, so is this guy? What guy? Okay, so is this guy Richard III. Okay. Richard III is an asshole. Okay, with me? Cool.
Richard III. Okay, quickly. Richard III is not Richard of York.
No. So Richard, there's like 20 Richard of York. So Richard Duke of York previously was
the protector. Was
Edward IV's father.
Yep.
He died. Head on pike.
Yep.
Edward reigns. Now Edward's son, the other Richard of York, he has two sons and a bunch of daughters, but he's got Richard Duke of York, who's son, and Edward V, who's son.
Okay.
And Richard III is Edward IV's brother. So Richard
got it. III, no, I got it. Yep, I got
okay.
it.
Okay, I was like, we can call him Stannis if we want to. Okay, so Richard III, Stannis, declares that Edward's two sons are illegitimate. Parliament confirms this in 1484 with an act called the Titulus Regius. I don't know. Oh, wait, we're not French. We're English.
Latin.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I was trying to say it like a French accent. Okay. So Richard III puts the boys in the Tower of London. Just throws them in there. And they're now known as the Princes in the Tower. And remember Bran and Rickon from Game of Thrones? Yeah. Like, that's what I think of. Yeah. And they were never heard from again.
What?
Yeah, seriously. No one knows what happened to them. They just started being seen less and less until eventually they disappeared. And everyone basically thinks that Richard III murdered them, but there's, like, no evidence. And there are
some friend, the guy who solved a bunch of old murders. Solve this one.
Like 100 or 200 years later, they found the body, like two children's bodies in the wall. And everyone was like, oh, it's them. But there's like no proof that it was them. I mean, people were like dying in the Tower of London constantly.
That's so sad. There were babies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were like 12 and 10. But yeah, still. They were little kids.
Yeah.
Babies. Well, and too, I think he put like the king's, from what I believe, like from what I was reading briefly, the kings would go to the Tower of London before their coronation. So mm-hmm. he was like, okay, go, you're going to wait there for your coronation. And then instead of like being coronated, he just like kept them there. And, mm-hmm. Yeah. Monster.
Is it bad that I just like really want to go to the Tower of London though? I want to go so bad.
So haunted. I bet it's so haunted. Mm-hmm. I want to go too. So they were either murdered or they went up north to go fight a three-eyed raven. Either one is possible. So at the time, Jane is supposedly become the lover of both. Okay, this is where it gets confusing, so stay with me. So lover of Thomas Grey.
Oh.
Elizabeth Woodville's son from her first marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also the lover of William Hastings, who is a loyal follower of the House of York, a super rich guy, a really big supporter of Edward IV, and... Wait, and Hastings' stepdaughter was married to Thomas Grey.
Oh, wow.
So it's very, and Thomas Grey was the son of Jane's deceased lover's wife, right? Thomas Grey.
Yeah. Wow, that is real complicated.
Weird love, yeah. Like, not triangle, trapezoid, love trapezoid. So...
Sorry, I love that so much.
I know. So love rhombus. So right. Thomas and Lord Hastings apparently like hated each other, which makes sense because they were like screwing the same girl, lady, woman.
Sorry, I'm still love rhombus. Okay, go ahead.
I feel like I've heard that somewhere.
I have never.
I've heard it somewhere. I don't know.
It's real irregular.
The trapezoid. So Jane brought an alliance between the Hastings and the Woodvilles, because that's what she does. She, like, brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard III, because he's a douchebag and had stolen the throne from all of these people's, like, best friend, was freaking out that they were plotting against him, which they probably were, but, like, who can blame them? Because he locked up Elizabeth's kids and most likely murdered them. I'd be plotting against his ass, too.
Yeah. Thomas the Grey's brothers had been killed.
No, stepbrothers.
Stepbrothers, but yeah, brother. Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, stepbrothers. Like, but he was a lot older than them.
He was one of her two kids from her previous
marriage. Yes. Good job. You're staying with me. Okay. So Richard finds this out. He's like, what the fuck? He takes Hastings out in the courtyard and just murders him. Like,
what?
Yeah. And then he accuses Jane of witchcraft. But it didn't stick because there was no evidence.
And also, she's awesome.
Yeah. So he accused her of
harlotry.
Harlotry. And the punishment for harlotry was walking through the streets barefoot, dressed in a kirtle. Okay, hold on. I have to add one more.
Okay, hold on. Is this true that, like, harlotry was on the books?
Yeah, I believe so. That's what I read. I believe. Because, like, when you look, like, the harlot was a word back then.
Like, I know, but, like, just be, I just, like, I have never come, I can't wait to look this up after we're done. Like, what other people have been, like, persecuted or punished for harlotry?
I think it was just honestly not necessarily, like, being a sex worker. It was just, like, like someone, like a mistress. Yeah. Being a harlot.
A woman that was, like, a sore thumb. Yeah.
Yeah. Sore thumb. So the punishment for harlotry was walking through the streets barefoot, dressed in a kirtle with a taper. A kirtle is, like, a slip. And a taper is most likely a bell. But when I Googled it, all I saw were, like, the taper haircuts. I just saw a bunch of those. Like, you know, the fade haircuts?
Yeah. No,
I saw a bunch. I think it's a bell. I tried to find it. Hold on. I tried to Google it. Oh, my jaw is cracking.
Is it girdle or kirtle?
Kirtle. No, that's like a slip. I'm trying to find a taper. A taper is a bell.
How do you spell kirtle?
No, I know what a kirtle is.
No, I know. But how do you spell it?
K-I-R-T-L-E.
I was just seeing if I search it together. So, custom taper sleeves, kirtle, it's a smock. You're right. It's really hard to find out what a taper is. I was just seeing if I could like, you know how sometimes it just comes.
I don't know. Yeah, I thought it was like.
I wonder if this is where it comes up. A kirtle has tapered sleeves. It says it in every description.
Maybe. So I'm just wondering.
Because, like, yeah, everything says custom underdress, tapered sleeves, blah, 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 tapered sleeves.
A kirtle. Oh, like a kirtle with a taper. So, like, a kirtle with taper.
With a tapered sleeve. Yeah, that's like a kirtle with a taper. I would think it's.
Or they shaved her haircut into that fade haircut. I don't know.
Sure. I think it's tapered sleeves. Emily thinks it's a haircut. Let's keep going. I'm sorry.
Okay, so if you watch,
please feel free to tell us. Oh my gosh, I love learning about historical dress. Tell us.
Yeah, what is historical haircuts? Okay, so if you've watched Game of Thrones, you remember the scene in season 5 where Cersei is walking through the streets and everyone is chanting shame,
shame.
Shame.
It was hard to watch.
I know. So George R.R. got it from Jane. He actually has, like, come out and said that it's specifically based on her because he stole his whole thing.
It's really nice to know that he didn't, like, make, like, this really disturbing, traumatic thing up in his own mind.
Yeah, people actually performed it. Yeah,
but it's good to know. Like, he didn't just, like, come up with this, like, horrible.
He made some stuff up, but I mean, maybe some of the stuff.
But the fact that she was naked was a very marked difference between Cersei and Jane Shore's punishment.
Well, I was just thinking about, like, the Red Wedding, how disturbing that was. I'm like, we won't get into it. Okay. Yeah. That didn't happen here, but I wanted to, like, I really hope that didn't happen to me. Well, maybe, I don't know. It's like all sorts of fucked up in the medieval times. Okay. I mean, not, or, you know, things are still fucked up. So, okay, shame, shame, shame. So, according to writers at this time, Jane did this punishment so well that the crowd was, like, really impressed with her and moved with how well she carried herself. So, it actually, like, kind of made her famous, and it was a punishment, but, like, she didn't take it as such. She just, like, did it so well that they were like, oh, her beauty, she's amazing. She's beauty and she's grace. She's Miss United States. No. Okay. So, after this, Richard sent her to Ludgate Prison. And there, Thomas Lim, the king's solicitor, aka he was like the DA for the king, fell in love with her and asked her to marry him. And he begged King Richard for a pardon. And Richard was like, are you sure? And Thomas was like, yeah, bro. So he granted it. And they got married and had a daughter and basically lived happily ever after until Jane died in 1527 at age 82.
That is actually, like, she had a really cool life.
I know.
She's okay. Like, I loved kings. I loved dukes. I love this. I love that. Like, is this really cool? Like, can you imagine the story she told to her daughter?
I know. Her daughter's like, Mom, is this story like, real?
Like, Mom, what can you tell me about King Edward? And she's going to be like,
Caribbean. Because you can see it was making a curved shape with her finger, hinting that Edward had a curved shaped man part. Okay.
I'm just having fun. Sorry.
We don't know. If anyone knows the answer to that, where's our guy to do the forensic to find that out?
Right? Totally.
Okay. So you may be wondering, wonder
how many kings lean to the left.
Or the right.
Right.
Or left. Okay. So you may be wondering, but wait, Emily, how does the War of the Roses end?
Yes, please. I actually am.
Okay, well, I'll tell you. So, all this shit went down. Like, Edward died. Richard killed people, threw people in towers, made Jane do the Cersei walk of shame. All of that happened between 1483 and 1485. And 1485, out of left field, literally left field, Henry of House Tudor, the first of her name, Queen of the Andals and the First Men, Protector of the Seven Kingdoms, Mother of Dragons, the Khaleesi of the Great Sea, and Breaker of Chains, sailing across the English Channels to take his throne back. Just literally, like, Richard's out there.
Oh, being this like, was Henry the Seventh?
Yes. So not yet Henry the Seventh because he wasn't king yet. But yes,
he was going to be Henry the Seventh. Okay.
So Henry Tudor. Comes out of left field, sails across the English Sea. He has been living in exile. He was a descendant of the first Lancaster. Living in exile. Everyone's kind of like pissed about Richard taking the throne, so things are already kind of divided. He gets his army and then sails from France over the sea, meets Richard III at the Battle of Bosworth Field. Richard's army vastly outnumbered Henry's, but Henry is still able to defeat him in battle. Which killed him. He died. Richard III died in battle, which ended the War of the Roses and the medieval era. Like, it ended at that battle.
Weird.
I know. I didn't know that either. So then Henry Tudor married Elizabeth of York, who was Elizabeth Woodville and Edward IV's daughter. Wait,
say that again.
Okay. Henry the Tudor. He was also a tutor. He tutored math on the side. Okay. Henry Tudor married Elizabeth of York. So Elizabeth of York was Elizabeth Woodville and Edward IV's daughter.
Okay.
So the sister of the Princes in the Towers.
Okay.
And they had some kids. You may or may not have heard of them, like Henry VIII.
He comes to mind.
He comes to mind. So I just remember one time I had this really hard history teacher in freshman year of college, and my friend wrote as a joke, we all got like C's in this class. My friend wrote as a joke on the test about Henry VIII. He was like, he'd invented divorce.
He did though.
He did, and our teacher was like,
or at least popularized it.
Yeah, I know. So Henry Tudor and Elizabeth Woodville or Elizabeth York married, and that alliance, so it's kind of like he was a Lancaster and she was a York, so it's like Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
So that alliance cemented the Tudor dynasty, and also I know that Queen's Podcast just did an episode on Elizabeth of York if you want to know more about her, because cool. I really want to know more about her. But yeah, so that's the War of the Roses and Jane Shore.
That's like really cool to know how that wrapped up.
I know.
Question, I don't know if you know this, but so Henry the Seventh, did he say this is the beginning of the Tudor line?
I don't know if he said the beginning, but his last name was like, he was Henry Tudor.
But he was the first of his kind.
Yeah. Well, right?
On the throne.
Yeah. He was a Lancaster, like at age, he was a descendant of the first Lancaster, but he was a Tudor. So I guess, I don't know how that like really works out.
Because, like, I know, like, there was, like, the Plantagenet Lancaster, and then it went to Tudors. And so I'm just, like, was he the first Tudor?
He was the first Tudor.
That's cool.
So that's, like, there, Elizabeth of York and Henry getting married was, like, what started the Tudor
like written, and that's, and also ended the medieval era, which is crazy. I didn't know that. Also, I like think we should have a whole Tudor month because the Tudors are so fascinating. But
yeah, except we are taking a stance and we will not talk about Henry VIII on this podcast.
No, I know, because that's, well, we want to, but he sucks and he's really, everyone's really overdone.
Dude, I read like an intense biography about him when I was like 12. Like, I'm talking like it was like an 800-page volume, and I like didn't participate in Christmas that year because I was reading about Henry VIII. So he stole my 12th Christmas from me. Okay.
we're not giving him any more Christmases. Yeah. Well, yeah. We love,
but we love everything. Like, we love the women around him.
He's a, well, everyone, I don't think he fascinates me, but he's a jerk. And then also, Jonathan Rhys Meyers was another guy who played him. He's like hot AF, but King Henry VIII was a huge dick.
You know what's my most lasting impression of him is like by the time he gets to his fifth or sixth wife, I just literally think of the wound on his leg that never healed.
I don't think I knew about that.
Like it was seeping.
God.
Like it was like just like horrible gout. Like I mean, I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor, but I think it was gout. But like he had this wound that never stopped seeping, so it constantly had to be redressed.
Oh God! Can you imagine trying to like get busy with someone and their wound is seeping on you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
No, I'm just like oh. Gross. Yeah, like I agree with you. That's disgusting.
Like, I was like, I hope you've never had that happen.
So, was it Catherine Parr? Was a saint.
That was his last one. I don't know. I got so confused. After Anne Boleyn, I stopped count. That was like the second one. Okay. So real quick, my sources, the video I watched that was actually the most helpful for this because there really wasn't much, like I said, on Jane Shore. But the video I watched is The Wars That Inspired Game of Thrones by Alex Gendler on TED Ed. And TED Ed, actually, like it's like TED Talks education. There's a whole channel on YouTube and they have like really cool videos and you can learn like anything on it. And it's really good. The video is really interesting. If you are like me and need visual, this video is like 6 minutes long and it really explains it really well. And then I also just used Wikipedia and ancientorigins.net for my information about Jane Shore.
That was awesome. That was really interesting. Thanks for giving us a cute little history lesson. I mean, we all know that our personal, I love public schooling, but our personal public schooling failed us in many ways.
Do you remember, I was asking about this, do you remember when we had to like learn the memorize the Gettysburg Address at like second grade? And then do you remember third grade? We had to write cursive the whole year.
Right. And do you also remember how we spent like literally every year in history, we spent like 7 months on the first like century of American history. And then we always spent like 1 week on the 60s, 1 week on the 70s, 1 week on the 80s. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah. I was like, okay. Oh, you mean
civil rights? Yeah. We're going to take like maybe a day to explain it.
Remember we had to like do those like pilgrim boot buckles and Paul Revere. I don't freaking care. And those guys with, I still think that tea party is the dumbest thing ever. They thought they were like, we're going to dump some tea in the ocean. I'm sorry. I know it's symbolic, but it's stupid.
All I think now is like, I would really like that loose leaf tea, please. And thank you. I'm just kidding.
Probably really good tea. What are you guys doing?
I'm just kidding. The King George was a tyrant. We all know. Blah, blah, blah.
Okay. But loose leaf tea is delicious. We're not saying King George wasn't a tyrant, but don't waste resources. All right. Well,
that was really cool.
Thank you.
Yes, we can do our happy harlots. You go first because I really am struggling to find one right now.
I'm happy to find one too. Maybe we don't have to do them. Oh, I know one. I got the sample of our new sweatshirts in the mail, and I'm wearing it right now, and they're really cute.
That is real. It is super cute. It's super cute. I felt so guilty, but I thoroughly enjoyed Bridgerton. Then to wash that like extremely, I hate to use this word, but like really girly drama. It was really good. But you know what I mean? Just like this very tailored drama. I started watching Warrior on HBO, and I just want to tell everyone to watch it. It's, I'm going to turn people off already by my description of it, but give it a chance.
I would watch it if I could get onto HBO.
I know. I don't know how to, right? So it is a kung fu spaghetti Western. So think of like a really awesome Western set in San Francisco at the turn of the century.
I want some spaghetti.
Right? With karate, lots of drama, secret female assassins, plus it's based on real history. Like, and it includes like the Exclusion Act and like the racism against the Chinese and like all the Tongs. And it's so well done. It's based on the writings of Bruce Lee. I'm obsessed.
I wonder if I can make spaghetti without waking Matt up. I don't think so.
Okay, we lost Emily at the spaghetti part of Western.
I just want spaghetti.
Go watch Warrior on HBO. It's got a really amazing cast. I'm in love with it.
That sounds really good.
It is so good. The outfits are amazing.
Before we go, the elves, the outfits.
Okay, it's another word I say wrong, okay? The outfit.
You said it great.
Outfits. I do say outfits. I do. Oh my God.
You say outfits. It's really cute. No, it's like there's a word that, what does Matt say? Something really weird. I always have to, I can't remember what it was, but he says his A's wrong. They're not wrong. But like, I don't know how he said, I'm like blanking. This isn't like not a good story. But every time he says his A's like eh instead of ah. So every time he says a word, that's like he sounds like an, okay.
Oh, can I have that apel over there?
No, but sometimes there'll be a word that like sounds similar. He'll be like, "Yeah, like apple or yeah. apple." He's yeah, like, I, the apple.
Sometimes you're like, "What?" It's okay. I mean, I have a Filipino husband who's like all the time. Sometimes still like Richard's English is like perfect, but it's so cute to hear him sometimes pluralize things that he shouldn't pluralize.
Like what?
Oh, like. I saw a bunch of deers the other day. There's just a lot of deers. Or, like, he'll just, like, you know, instead of, like, you know, can I have some, like, he'll just say, like, French's fries, like, stuff like that. It's, like, really cute. So, and I'll just be like, oh, he's like, did I pluralize something again? I was like, yeah.
It's like, Matt, like, he doesn't have an English accent, or English. I wish he had an English accent. He doesn't have a Southern accent except for what he says with A's. And I'm trying to think of what word he says. I don't know. I'll update you all. Okay, but really quick, we just wanted to give a shout out to our Patreon donors, Morgan and Kristen. Thank you so much. It
means so much to us. I can't believe you're giving us money for what we do. It's amazing. We love you guys.
We have it makes our little pitter-pat hearts happy. So thank you so much. And thanks for tuning in, guys, and keep sending us recommendations of stuff.
We love it.
Even if we don't get to it right away, we like have
a We keep them on the list, and you will get a shout out if we end up using your recommendation. Because honestly, our recommendations like have you guys are a lot smarter than us in a lot of different ways. And we appreciate it.
Yeah, we're dumb. No.
We're not dumb, but like, you know. They're we'll take them in different ways, right?
Yes. So yeah, we love it. And we love you guys. And that's it. That's all I got.
We do not know if we love the Middle Ages. To be determined.
I've loved this episode, and you loved your episode. Mm-hmm. Although I'm like having a hard time with like the 500s.
Yeah, because it was the 500s.
It's really boring. I don't know if I could do it.
I don't think it was boring. It's just like human existence was a struggle.
It's not. No, it's interesting, but it's just like there's not. I don't know. I find like middle evil.
Okay, Emily coined a new phrase. Everyone, middle evil ages.
Middle evil ages. This is what happens when I'm really tired. Okay.
Okay. Well,
tuning in.
Let's just light up.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, Harlots! We just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to Harlots of History.
If you like what you heard today, please go and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so we can keep bringing you more salacious, scandalous harlots.
Our music is Nia Praxis, Frank Riddick by Lloyd Rogers from freemusicarchive.com. And our cover art and editing is by us.
Woohoo! We love suggestions, tips, tricks, or just salacious details you think are interesting. So please reach out to us on Instagram at Harlots of History Podcast, or on Twitter at History Harlots, or email us at harlotsofhistorypodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
And remember, be a harlot,
not a hater.
Bye.